Welcome to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. Mommy Oyoyo is a platform for the modern African woman to talk about anything and everything related to motherhood in today's world. Join me, Berida Kara, as we tackle the good, the bad, the ugly, the highs, the lows, the wins, the losses, and everything else in between. Mommy Oyoyo is your plug for real life gist and experiences about being a mother, African style. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. It's me, Berida Kara, your hostess with the mostest, and I'm so thrilled to have you listening to this episode. This is episode number 69, and in this one, I'm going to be covering 10 places where you can find people to be a part of your village, okay? 10 places where you can find people to build your village. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the phrase that says, it takes a village to raise a child. I'm going to believe that everyone has heard that phrase before. And if you actually Google the phrase, it'll take you to Wikipedia, where it says that it takes a village to raise a child is a proverb that means that an entire community of people must provide for and interact positively with children for those children to experience and grow in a safe and healthy environment. So, an entire community of people. When we say it takes a village to raise a child, what it means, yeah, and also I should note that while they're not entirely sure of the origin, they shall know that it's an African proverb, right? It's an African proverb, so yay to our people. Anyway, when we say that it takes a village to raise a child, what it basically means in a nutshell is that parenting does not begin and end with the child's parents. Let me say it again. Parenting does not begin and end with the child's parents. It goes beyond them. It takes a community of people, a network of people, for parents to raise their children. It means that you have a support group, a support network of people that help you in your parenting journey, that help you as you raise your children, and vice versa, because it's not just that people are helping you with raising your children, you're also doing the same thing for others, right? So it's this sense of community. I think that it comes from previous generations, older generations, where a multi-generational family unit was the mainstay of families, right? Where you had maybe the matriarch and patriarch of the family, and then in surrounding houses in the same compound, you have the different parental units. So you had the parents and then you had the children. And everybody just kind of lived in the same vicinity, lived in the same compound, or maybe even the same village, right? And everyone combined together to basically raise the children. It wasn't just, oh, mommy and daddy on your own, right? In this day and age, though, it seems more like the rearing of children, the raising of children it's looked at more as the nuclear family unit, all right? That whole extended family part is not quite as strong anymore. And I don't think that it's because people don't want it. I think that a big part of it is people moving from their places of origin, right? For instance, I'm here in the States. I originally grew up in Port Harcourt, Nigeria, right? I'm just lucky that almost my entire family is here as well in Atlanta, but I digress. So in this day and age, it just seems more that the family unit is more of the nuclear family. And while it is completely fine, it's completely fine for, you know, a family unit to just be themselves, I don't think that I don't think that not having a support system is really the best choice. I'm not going to see if it's just you raising your children and you don't have any support. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with you, okay? But I think that you can look a little bit outside of yourself, outside of just you and your children, to find that support system, okay? And in this episode, I want to share 10 places where you can find those people to be a part of your village. Number one, and this is the most obvious, would be your family. In the very first place, especially like in Igbo culture where we have the Omugwo system, yeah, where the new mom gives birth and her mom, the grandma, comes to spend a few months with the new mom to help her, you know, with taking care of the baby, help the new mom nurse back to health, just basically giving postpartum care. You have that, right? So that, I think that's one of like the, that's a very, very easy and clear example. But aside from grandma, you also have grandpa that can help out with, you know, playing with the kids, especially like my dad. My dad, I think, is arguably my daughter and my niece and nephew is like, he's part of their best friends, right? But apart from grandparents who, you know, they're there to, I guess, give the children treats and to undo all the discipline that you have done in your own house. Oh, gosh. Okay, no, that's not what they're supposed to be for, but that's what they do. Anyway, apart from your grandparents, you have siblings, you know, your sisters, your brothers who are aunties and uncles to your children. I know that. So, yeah, while I know that, I guess maybe I should have said this first. While I know that not every family, there are lots of families with fractured relationships, yeah? There are lots of families where, like, trust has been broken, you can't rely on them or whatever. I totally understand that, and that's fine. But if you do have a solid family unit that are close enough to help you out with your children, that's where you can look towards. You can look towards, you know, your own parents. You can look towards your own siblings, your extended family, your aunties, your uncles. Those people can give you some advice to help you with your child, or even to offer some free babysitting. I said free babysitting, okay? A second place where you can find people to be a part of your village would be your friends, your network of friends. Now, I'm not saying that you need to have like a whole entire host of friends, like 10, 20, you know, deep. You can have like maybe two or three friends that are close to you, especially when, like I mentioned, because we move around so much these days, a lot of times you move and you just don't know anybody at all. You don't know anybody. You don't have any family members there. The next thing you want to do is find friends, isn't it? Right? And those friends, those people who you share you share values with, you share interests with, maybe they might even have children the same age as your children, or maybe they don't even have children, but they're just like a very good support system for you and you for them. I want to keep saying this, it's a two-way street, okay? It's not just take, you need to give as well. But your friends are a good place where you can find people to be part of your village in raising your children. I would hope that you have friends that you trust, that you can entrust your children's lives with. And a lot of times people have their friends as godparents to their children, because, you know, these are people that you would entrust your own life and your children's lives to. So yeah, having a good network of friends is a good place where you can find people to be part of your village. So a third place where you can find people to be part of your village would be your children's school. And I have a small anecdote here. So we have some family friends who have been in our lives for, I want to say, like 35 years, maybe a little bit shorter, but like 30 plus years. And the reason why we became family friends in the first place was because their son told his parents that he had a princess at school whose birthday it was going to be soon, and he wanted to buy a birthday present for his princess. Okay? And so they took him to the store. They bought a present for her, and the following day came back to school, and his mom reached out to my mom, was like, "Hey, are you so and so's mother?" And she said, "Yes." Said, "Oh, well, my son says that your daughter is his princess." And they both had a good laugh about it, and from then on just started hanging out, started saying hi, more to each other, and we became just fast family friends, and we've been friends for 30 years. So I feel like taking note of who your children talk about, who are their friends, right? Who are the people that they talk about the most? How about you reach out to said children's parents and say, "Hey, I noticed that my child is friends with your child. How about we set up like a play date for them, or set up a hangout for them? Or if you're having a birthday party for your own child, inviting their friends and inviting the parents as well, so that you get to know who these children's parents are." And a lot of times you find that, because you have children of the same age, then you're going most likely going through the same experiences, right? And so then it's easier for you to include them in your village. Another option for this is number four now. Another place where you can find people to be a part of your village would be in your house of worship, wherever it is that you go to worship, whether it's church, whether it's a mosque, synagogue, temple, whatever it is. Chances are that if you are going to one of these kinds of places, then there are other people there who share the same religious values as you do, the religious beliefs as you do, right? And I want to say that they probably also have children as well. They may not necessarily be have children that are the same age as yours, but I think it's important to have some friends or people in your corner with children that are older than your children, right? So they can give you advice on how they have dealt with one issue or another that you're going through. That's not necessarily like just a place of worship place. I'm just saying that as an aside. But the people that you share your religious beliefs with, if you have, like, for instance, in our church, we have connect groups and Bible studies, right? So in those kind of smaller settings, you can meet people that you build a relationship with, and from then move on to, families hanging out together and so on and so forth. I will tell you, one of Coco's godmothers is a lady that we met at church, I want to say like 14 years ago. And at the beginning, there's nobody that would have said, "Oh, when I met her 14 years ago, I would never have known that at some point I would ask her to be my child's god." I wasn't even thinking about marriage at the time, but I just want to show you that your house of worship is a place where you can meet people to be a part of your village. Another place where you can find people to be a part of your village, and these people may not necessarily have a direct influence on your children. They may not have direct interaction with your children, but you can have interactions with them. And this would be social media slash support groups. So yes, I'm talking your Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Telegram, all of those things. I know that social media comes with a bad rap of, a lot of negativity and like cancel culture these days and all of the other things. But there's some positivity to be gained as well. There can be some community. There can be a sense of community that you find on some social networks. And I should mention though that it's not always just online. A lot of times, some of these organizations or some of these communities have offline events. I know that things are a little bit crazy now with the Rona and everything with the pandemic, but I'm just saying that you don't necessarily have to just do it online. But you have all kinds of support groups for whether it's new moms, whether it's dads, like girl dads, whether it's parents with special needs children, whether it's moms that live in a particular city and state or country, right? Whether it's moms with children that play the trumpet, I don't know. But the point is that you can utilize your social media to have or to build a community that supports you, and vice versa as well. I'll tell you that some of the friends that I've made now that I go to for advice, that come to me also for advice, I met through blogging. I met through Instagram. And we connected so well that, you know, we took the friendship offline, started talking on the phone or chatting on WhatsApp, and then maybe finally meeting in person as well. So that's an avenue that you can find people to be a part of your network. I can name like Fab Mom NG off the top of my head, Mom Confessions on Instagram, Moms and Tea that meets up in England, New Generation Mom on Facebook. So there are all these different kinds of organizations and community and pages where you can find people that you mesh with and you gel with, that can give you advice, that can support you in your own motherhood or parenting journey. A sixth place, this is number six, where you can find people to be a part of your village would be your neighbors. You don't have to look too far. Literally, people that live next door to you. And I guess it depends on where you live and if, you know, the general area is safe. But you can find people who live close by, who live near you, that you can rely on to help you with, you know, your kids, and also vice versa. Again, I think I have some kind of luxury because right across from our house, we have an Algerian family with children that are a little bit older than Coco, but they're the same age as my niece and nephew. And we've built a good friendship where she can watch Coco on some evenings when I want to go out, and she can send her children over to me if she needs to go out. Like, we're always, hey, do you have milk? Hey, do you have sugar? Hey, do you have tea? Do you have this or whatever? And we've built that relationship over the years, right? I know of someone online who she kind of has like a surrogate grandma for her son, because this woman lives next door to them, and her son has kind of adopted this older woman as his surrogate grandma. He has a grandma already, but this is now an additional grandma. So you can just take a look around, like, who are the people that live around you? Have you tried to get to know them, right? It's not just, you know, you enter your house and then that's it. Sometimes just take a look, say hi to your neighbor, strike up a conversation. You never know what interests you may have in common with them. You never know if these people can, if they can be your next best friend. You never know. So look at your neighbors. Number seven, and this one's kind of weird, but you can also build some kind of community or village through some of your coworkers. Yeah, through some of your colleagues. I know that generally, and I don't know if it's just an American thing, but it almost seems like generally when you go to work, and especially as women, you're supposed to just come and be worker. Like, you forget that you have, or you're supposed to pretend that you don't have responsibilities and a family outside of work. You only come to work to talk about work and just be a worker, right? I'll give you a story of the company that I work for. A couple of years ago, this was like two positions back, I struck up a kind of friendship or kind of like a support friendship with another lady who lived in the opposite, on she lived on the opposite side of the US. I live in Atlanta, she lived in California. And whenever we would chat, I can tell you that a good part of the conversation revolved around, oh, how's Coco doing? How's your son doing? How's your husband doing? Or we're having issues with potty training, or oh, it's this one's birthday party. Like, where do you think I should go look for party decorations or whatever? And I remember one time where she vividly said to me, now, you know what? I really enjoy talking to you because, specifically because I can talk about being a mom while at work. Like, with the other people around me, I don't have that luxury. I don't have that ability. It's always just work, 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 work. But when I talk to you, I can just like be free and talk about parenting, right? And so I really liked that she said that because to me, yes, we are workers, right? But you're not just a worker. You have a life outside of work. And I don't believe that the minute you enter your office building, then you forget about everything else. I don't believe that. I'm the kind of person who's like, you know what? I'm not saying like your coworkers have to be your best friend. I'm not saying that. But you never know who might be going through something that you have gone through, or who's going through something that you are going through already, or who you might be able to give advice to because you've already gone through what they might be going through. You just never know. There are people that, hang out outside of work. Include your family, include the children as well, and I think that that's a good place to look for people as well. Number eight would be healthcare workers. Who is your child's pediatrician? Who is the midwife that helped you, with your pregnancy and with giving birth? Who is the lactation specialist that helped you if you had any issues with breastfeeding? Who's your GP as well, right? The healthcare workers who service you and service your child or your children can be, I think that they can be relied on as well as part of your village, right? Because these are the people who are lending their expertise to the healthcare of your children, right? So I think that that's a very good place to look at. I'm also, see, I think I I think I'm just really, 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 really blessed because Coco's pediatrician also goes to our church. So in him, I have, the church part, and then I also have the healthcare part. So he's someone that we can call off working hours, off office hours, and ask for advice or whatever. So, but lean into your healthcare workers, the healthcare specialist that you have for your family. Number nine, and I think this is a very, very big one, would be your children's teachers. In this day and age where we are working, a lot of moms are working, your children are likely spending more, especially if they are school age, if they are of school age or in daycare, your children are likely spending most of their time, especially during the week, at school or at daycare. These people who are teaching your children or caring for your children in daycare, that's an extended part of your village because I think that they actually might have the second most direct impact. They have the second most influence over your children. They're teaching your children day in, day out, Monday through Friday, right? So that's a good place to find people to be part of your village. I think it's a very good idea to get to know these people. Again, you don't have to be best friends with them, but get to know these people They can give you insights on your children that you might miss because you're not with them for majority of the day while you're at work. This is, I guess, for people who go to work. Stay-at-home moms, I don't think you have that problem necessarily. Or if you're homeschooling your children, you don't necessarily have this issue. But for working moms, I think that leaning on your children's teachers is a very good way to, it's a very good avenue to find people for your village. And then number 10 would be those of us that have, I'm not part of them, but those of you that have childcare. So your nannies, your au pairs, babysitters, all of that good stuff. Those are people that are also part of your village because those are people who are directly impacting your children, who are giving direct care to your children. And again, these will be people that you trust with your child. I don't know how you can have a nanny or an au pair or a babysitter that you don't trust. If you don't trust them, then they shouldn't be in any of those roles, right? But that's another good place to find people that are part of your village and raising your child. And so that's the end of this episode. I hope that if you feel like you're in this parenting journey by yourself, I hope that I've given you some ideas of places where you can look to find people to help you with it. Yeah. And like parenting, I don't think parenting is meant to be done by yourself. It's not meant to be done by yourself. So open your eyes, take a step, take a challenge, maybe strike up a conversation with somebody that that you see often. Strike up a conversation with a mom or a dad of a child that your child is close to. Okay. And yeah, that's about it. I will catch you guys. Actually, no, stay tuned for the next part where I tell you what episodes you can listen to if you enjoyed this one. So if you enjoyed listening to this episode, I would say that you should listen to episode 40, where I spoke with Tomi Singer. And in that episode, we talked about mom friends. I think a lot of times us women feel like, oh, you know, I don't know where to find any mom friends. Like I'm looking for another woman with children that are my child's age and I don't know how to make new friends or whatever. I think that that's a very good episode where you can find a little bit more information about how we do it, right? So yeah, check out that episode. That's episode 40. And I hope to catch you on the next one. Bye. Thank you for listening to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast, real conversations about motherhood for the modern African woman. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please subscribe to Mommy Oyoyo on your preferred podcast player, share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To keep up and join our conversations online, you can follow on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Mommy Oyoyo. Also check out our website at www.mommyoyoyo.com and feel free to send feedback via email to mommyoyoyo@gmail.com. Thanks again and I'll catch you next time.